Hi again, everyone. Nancy Newman back here in our Meadowlands studio for another edition of the Nissan postgame show. Well, another heartbreaker. Our final score from Continental Airlines Arena in overtime, 101-99 in favor of the Hawks. A seesaw affair throughout the day, and we've got the recap for you. 101-99 final in overtime. So death by buzzer beater for the New Jersey Nets, 101-99. So right now, Coach Frank is speaking at the podium. Let's listen
and,
in live.
It's important that that we all maximize our minutes and maximize our efforts. So, we put ourselves in a very precarious position. We fought back, but you know, this game is 48 minutes, and we lose again on another buzzer beater. But we look at all the prior minutes, prior to the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, and then let alone we shoot 58% from the free throw line. So, it's just disheartening when we're not giving maximum effort because that's something that we had been doing, and that's something that's going to be the only way for us to win.
How concerning is it to you? I mean, when you consider that if there was a chance to have a wake-up call earlier, some of these losses leading to this probably should have served as that.
Well, our team's a little bit different. We go, sometimes we, it's got to get bad before it can get good. So, we'll learn from it. It's very discouraging, but yet we're not going to hang our heads, and we got to fight our way through it. No one's going to feel sorry for us, and we just have to be a whole lot better.
Is this the low point, Coach?
The low point is the last game of the season when you have no more games to be played. This is just another tough loss and a series of tough losses that we've had. Yet this one was different. We lose on a buzzer beater yet again. This one was different in that we didn't play very well for the majority of the game. Those other buzzer beaters, we played well, and then we wilted down the stretch in some of those. This one was the opposite. We played at the end of the game. That's it.
Coach, is it free throws or execution down the stretch? What do you see out there that you want to correct?
Well, we scored down the stretch in this game. The problem was, like I just said, for the first 44 minutes, we were very selective in terms of our focus and our ability to do what needed to be done. We finished out the game. We're trailing four with, 41 seconds, 43 seconds to go. We get the game in overtime, then we tie it up. So, we executed, but we just – there's a large part of the game that you have to – we got to do a better job of.
Coach, a lot of people always want to talk, what's the team's identity and whatnot. Can you at this point put your finger on what your team's identity is?
Well, yeah, I think that's obvious. I think if you ask guys in the room what's our identity to win, we have to be, as we've said time and time again, a group, because we're minus 32 points from our lineup, that we have to be a very, very sound defensive team that protects the middle of the floor and protects our paint. On the offensive end, we're an opportunity break team that's going to be possession-oriented when we're in the half court.
It's almost a matter of time, Coach, that the more you double Joe out on the perimeter, that somebody's going to hit an open shot.
Well, yeah, there's one thing there, but the one where Lou got, because give Mike credit, he subbed Lou in instead of Claxton, and we were a little bit slow to rotate to Lou, so we give him the jumper. We made some silly defensive mistakes. We give up a layup, just on defensive principles. Johnson hits that tough three at the end of the clock. You got to tip your hat. That's just an outstanding player making a tough shot. And then the last one, obviously, we got the, we were able to double Joe before he got the ball in his hands, and Lou hurt us just on a one-on-one play.
At that point, after Vince makes that shot,
going to
another overtime?
No, you got to get a stop. There's a lot of time left, and Lou showed a lot of composure in that he didn't rush. Joe Johnson was obviously the primary focus on the play. They tried to get him the ball down in the post. You got to give Tyronn Lue. He had a lot of savvy, and he knocked down a heck of a shot.
So a tough loss indeed as the Nets fall to 22-26, their third loss in a row. And time to welcome back in Ian Eagle and Jim Sponarkle. And guys, buzzer beaters is indeed the theme as we take a look back first and take it back to that West Coast trip and the first three losses out West: Sacramento by virtue of Mike Bibby, then Ellis getting into the act for Golden State, another buzzer beater loss, and then it's the Clippers, Patino Mobley, the game winner against the Nets that time around. And then you fast forward to tonight and Tyronn Lue, death by buzzer beater one more time. You got to think, how much more can this Nets team take?
Well, that's certainly a question right now for the Nets. You wonder, can they bounce back from this? And, you know, Jimmy, the West Coast trip, obviously those were crushing losses. And when the Nets did recover against Denver and Utah, there was, if anything, around the league surprise that the Nets were resilient enough to deal with those losses. Here's another one coming Lawrence Frank's way, where the Nets did everything that's expected of a team trying to come back, force another overtime. You've got the advantage on your home floor, but they did not anticipate Tyronn Lue being the reason why they walk out of here with a loss.
They did not, and I think the toughest part of this loss, Ian, is coming off the last two games with the Magic and the Pistons, believe it or not. The way the Nets did not play well. They struggled. They're trying to come after those two games, get some consistency, find a win, steal a win any way they can. They thought they had a shot at one, I think, a couple of times. And, boy, this one's demoralizing. More, I think, more so than the first three that we just talked about on the West Coast.
Interesting point, Jim. You know, when you look at this game, it was really an odd game to watch. The Nets didn't do a bad job of clamping down on defense in the first half, but it got away from them in the second half, but it was a game of runs. And Joe Johnson, 37 points. And as you mentioned, who would have thought Tyronn Lue? It was really an odd game.
Yes, and a game that the Nets desperately needed coming off the heels of what Jimmy talked about, the Detroit loss and the Orlando loss. Needed a little confidence booster with Philadelphia tomorrow, then Atlanta again. A chance for the Nets to really make some headway in the Atlantic Division. You can talk all you want about they have to take advantage of their schedule. You have to actually go out and do it.
Right.
And there's been no clear indication yet this season that the Nets can actually do that. Yes, they've shown some stretches where they can win consistently, but then that's been backed up by some heartbreaking losses and some inconsistent, uneven play. You know, which Nets team shows up day in, night in? We don't know that answer.
We don't, and I think the key thing becomes, you know, when you think about the Nets team at the beginning of this year with Kristic and Jefferson, you kind of knew if everybody stayed healthy what type of team this really would be. The big three, Kristic, the next guy in is the big four, if you will. Without those two guys in the lineup, it's kind of musical chairs, if you will, night in and night out. Who's going to come back and support the play of Kidd, Carter? Mikey Moore's been doing it consistently. You have Marcus Williams tonight, this afternoon, who played a great game. But overall, it's kind of like, who's going to do that on a day-by-day basis?
Looking ahead a little bit, guys, to the stretch of the games that's straight ahead. It's the Sixers next and AI. Really, on paper, it looks like a few winnable games, including a rematch with these Hawks coming up. So what does this team have to do to get on a roll, get back on track, and get something going getting into the break?
Well, certainly the new AI, Andre Iguodala, is a guy that the Nets have to focus in on because he is their best player with the absence of Allen Iverson. Now, Iguodala is a guy that you pay attention to and he shows up on a scouting report, but he has responded to that. He's played some of the best basketball of his career, probably the best basketball on paper again, a game the Nets are supposed to win. But today was a game that the Nets were supposed to win against an Atlanta team that was struggling to put points on the board. At this point, throw out all of that rhetoric.
Oh, yeah, that all goes. That's all gone. I mean, it's something now where the Nets, they have to just break this down. One, you know, the old cliche of one game at a time, I'd go as far to say as one quarter at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Get the focus back, push this behind them. This is a tough one to push behind them this afternoon, but one quarter at a time to get the wins within the next four games.
Thanks, guys. A lot, as always. Great game again, as always. A super Sunday for the Hawks, just like you said.
Nancy, just to get it on record, Colts 27 and the Bears 17.
You're both going for the Colts.
Well, Jimmy didn't ask me my opinion.
Who do you like in the game today, Ian?
On the air. 27 to 17, Colts.
Okay, well, Ryan
record.
Gives us a score. He doesn't need to.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, I'll make it a trifecta. I'm going Colts, too.
Oh, thanks. There we
okay.
go.
Score. See you next time.
See ya.
Okay. We're going to take you in live now to listen in on Jason Kidd, who was held scoreless the other night versus Orlando, but a double-double tonight.
Bigger and bigger. And so we just got to stay together. And, you know, every time we figure that people have counted us out, we've always responded. And this afternoon. We had a great opportunity to do something, you know, good this week. But, you know, you got to give Atlanta a lot of credit. They came in and got a win.
As far as the season goes, Jason, do you think this is rock bottom?
No. You know, rock bottom is when you don't win. When you've only maybe won 5 or 6 games. And so, you know, we've gone out there and we've competed. And, you know, right now it's just, you know, it's coming down to the last shot for us to make or for us to get a stop, and it's just not going our way right now.
Jason, when you look at games that are down the stretch and trying to close them out, talk about what you see out there. At one point, games down the stretch, we keep seeing those. We talk about maybe closing one out and getting the W.
Well, that's been our formula in the past, is that we were able to close games out, you know, make the right play or get a defensive stop. And for some reason this year, that's just not happening for us right now. So we're a veteran ball club, and, you know, there's a lot of games to still be played. And so we got to find a way to stay together and go out there and give our best effort.
Does this one hurt any differently when you lose a game at the buzzer versus a game where you're really not in it, Jason?
Well, I think they all hurt, no matter if you win or no matter if you lose by one or if you lose by 30. You know, if it doesn't bother you, then, you know, then something's wrong. And so for us to, you know, have that performance in Orlando and this one, you know, to lose at the buzzer, they all, you know, go in the wrong column. So if they don't hurt, then, you know, something's wrong. But, you know, this is the type of season that we're having right now. We got just to find a way to turn it around.
What do you do tomorrow in Philly down the stretch?
Well, if we're in that situation, we've got plenty of examples to learn from. So we just got to understand how important the ball is, take good shots, and don't press. And, you know, if that opportunity comes tomorrow, hopefully we can answer that call.
Okay, thank you.
All righty, so a tough stretch of late definitely for the Nets. They've lost 3 in a row, and they've been outscored by their opponents by an average of 20 points per game, and they've given up 100-plus points in 7 straight games, albeit this one in overtime. Vince Carter coming off a 27-point night versus Orlando. 25 points tonight, including 8 assists. Also, a key 3-pointer in overtime to tie it at 99, but it wasn't quite enough as Tyronn Lue had another shot left in him. Let's listen to Vince moments ago.
It's a tough loss. We can't be inconsistent and up and down throughout the course of the game. You know, we may have a slow start, but we have to find our way. With us down bodies, we just have to come out. We have to play hard and scrappy from start to finish, and we can't decide to do it at certain points in the game. It's worked for us a couple of times, but we can't rely on that. We are a defensive team, and we have to play like it. And, you know, we gave ourselves a chance to win. We put ourselves back in the game, got to overtime, and, you know, once again tied the game, and it's just unfortunate for us. That's the way it goes sometimes.
And Vince, if you had to bring on what the identity of this team is right now,
still a defensive team. You know, we have to just, we need to be a consistent defensive team, and, you know, we just have to remain confident with our offense. You know, sometimes we go through spells where, you know, we just don't hit shots, but we can't let our ability to miss shots create our ability not to defend as a unit.
Lawrence talked about how for the first 44, 45 minutes, the really lack of focus, you know, intensity, whatever. How do you guys account for that with yourself, Jason Kidd, 2 veteran guys, all stars?
Well, we just have to lead the way.
You know, I mean, we have to do it collectively. We can't have 2, 3, 4 guys. We have to have every guy who steps on that floor bring the intensity for us. And if that guy doesn't have it, the next man has to come in and give us something. And all in all, you know, we still have to do it as a unit. We still have to do it for 48 minutes. So, well, I think we understand that, but, you know, we just have to do it.
All right, so clearly a disappointed Vince Carter. Now, Mikey Moore, as I mentioned, came out fast again today with 8 first quarter points, 13 on the day on 4 of 7 shooting, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists as well. A short time ago, Mikey Moore talked with our Michelle Beadle.
A game like that, another buzzer beater, which didn't think was possible for you guys one more this year,
Was it so much you guys' inconsistent play, or did they just come out and play better?
Just spurts in the game. Lack of defense in some parts, and, you know, they came out with energy. Teron Lou, my old point guard from college, he stepped in and hit two big baskets. You know, he's a veteran in the game, and he has a lot of talent. And he just knocked down some good shots.
I know you guys don't like to look ahead and pencil in wins and losses and take each one at a time, but did you kind of feel like this game today was the start of a week that should have been like 4-0 maybe?
Yeah, we should have had this win, especially being at home and the record that they have. Not saying that their talent is bad. It's just, you know, some teams are in a slump right now, just like we are. And we have to take a hold of it and take that and take the rest of the games that, like you said, in this week and try to make the best out of it. I mean, we're not going to slack up. Just because we had a little burp, a little hiccup in it in our schedule and we're not playing that good right now, we're not going to give up. So we'll make this road trip good and right, we'll make this little run before All-Star break.
Well, that's going to do it for the Nissan Postgame Show. Don't forget, up next, stay tuned for GMC Presents Center Stage. Joe Montana, Michael Kay sits down with a four-time Super Bowl champion on this Super Sunday. That's GMC Presents Center Stage. Joe Montana up next. And make sure you come back with us tomorrow night when the Nets pay a visit to the new AI, Andre Iguodala, and the Philadelphia 76ers. Our coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. with tip-off coming at 7 and complete post-game coverage following the action. So for now, Brian Eagle, Jim Swinarkle, Michelle Beadle, and the rest of our YES Network team, I'm Nancy Newman saying thanks for watching and enjoy the rest of your Super Bowl Sunday.